Now, I have some lovely assistants who are going to help me this morning.
Oh, I love it. That was
yeah. And they are going to sing a song for us, okay? All right. Thank you, ladies.
I did that on roller skates before I even walked.
Yeah, that's how I learned it, too, on roller skates, which makes the turning around a little more tenuous. But, yeah. Okay, yeah. So there's that hokey pokey, you know, and it's like that last song. That's that line. That's what it's all about, you know. Did you ever stop and wonder what it really means, you know? Is the hokey pokey really what it's all about? But, you know, it's kind of, if you think about it, it's about body parts, you know. And the right and the left, which in my classroom, that's still kind of a problem sometimes. And so we do this and we say L for left, unless you do reversals, and then it's still a problem, okay? So the hokey pokey itself doesn't really have to do a lot with what I'm going to talk about this morning, but body parts do. And I want to start by reading from Romans chapter. It starts with our individual bodies and then kind of goes into the larger body of the church. And so it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is within Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them." And I'm going to stop there. And I'm going to say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will be on these words this morning. And may they speak to someone here. May they stop to think about what you would have them to do with the message that they hear this morning. In your name, amen. Yeah, because obviously I'm not Pastor Dave, and that was not revelation. But when you're married, you tend to share things, and sometimes you share good things, and sometimes you share not so good things. And it looks like I shared the flu with Dave, and which I think I got last weekend when I went to visit Matt and Marika in Seattle and brought that back. But, you know, sometimes our bodies work great, and sometimes they don't work as great as what we would like them to. But you know what? They are amazing, aren't they? That the way that God knit us together. And some of us, you know, some people's bodies might appear to be more amazing than other people's bodies. But every one of us, he gave us ears to hear. We can hear a child's first words and a child's laughter. And he gave us all arms, and we can hug other people with those arms. And, you know, just as God gave us these physical bodies to enjoy the physical world, he has allowed us to be part of a spiritual body that makes our Christian lives fuller. And so, and if you've been on a walk with Christ, then you're probably recognizing that this is the body of Christ talk. Yes, it is. And it's one that I gave several years ago. And so, forgive me if I'm a little rusty with it. But you too, if you have ever given a talk somewhere, could be, if you want to be on board to share that talk with the rest of the church, just let Dave know. He welcomes raising up other people in this body, because he doesn't have to be the only one that you hear give messages. Okay, this morning first service, Ted gave a talk, and actually he also gave a Body of Christ talk. So, and if you were in both, please don't compare us, because Ted is very different from Karen. So that's okay. But even though we are different, every one of us who is a Christian, who has accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you are part of this body of Christ. And we are joined together by Jesus. And he calls each one of us as part of his body to reflect his image to the world, because now we are the physical body of Jesus on earth, and we are showing other people who don't know Jesus what he is about. So we are a mirror, you could say. And the body of Christ then is more than just an individual Christian. The body of Christ is a group of people who desire to grow in holiness. Did you know that? Jesus put that in there. And we should have that desire to grow. And while we grow and learn, we should be radiating the gospel and that love of Jesus to those around us. And so, and you've probably seen people who it seems like they just kind of glow with God's love. It's like they're not the sun. Maybe they're more like the moon, that they're reflecting. Because the moon, we talked about that in my class this week. The moon is not a star. It does not shine on its own, but it reflects the sun's light. And that's why sometimes it's so big and bright in the sky. And as Christians, we should be reflecting God's light and God's love out to the people around us. And, you know, that's one of the prayers that I have, is that I could be a light for Jesus in the world around me. And you could do that wherever God has placed you. And, you know, lots of times when we think of the word church, we think of this physical building, you know, and with a sanctuary like this and pews. And some people have a very set definition of what that needs to look like. And when we try to mess with that and change it a little bit, it kind of upsets their world. But the church is not a building, and the sanctuary is not this room and it filled with pews. Okay? When I was a kid, I thought, that is such a weird word. Why did they call that pews? And I actually don't know why. But, yeah. But the church is every one of you. It is and me, and it's Pastor Dave. It is all of us, the laity. That's those of us who aren't a pastor, and the clergy, those of us who are pastors. It is all of us, individuals and families, united together in Christ. And you know what? Each of us is a minister. Our Pastor Dave's not here, but our ministers are here. because each one of you is a minister of Christ. And, you know, if we only depended on that person whose official job title is pastor, our church wouldn't get a lot done, would it? We need each of you to help out. And Dave's not the only one whose job it is to take the gospel, the message of Christ, to the world. All of us can take Christ to our jobs and into the community as well. And as a teacher, every single day I see children who have needs and hurts, and letting them know that I care is a way that I can make a difference in their lives. And teaching is my mission, and I am grateful that I have been able to find a place where in Orient where I can fulfill the mission that I feel that God has given to me. And if somebody says, oh, we're lucky to have you, I say, oh, no, I am so lucky to be here. I am grateful every day for that. And even in places like public schools where there are, you know, a public school teacher is bound by certain rules about sharing faith. But that doesn't mean I can't be God's light there. You know, like that song, This Little Light of Mine, you know, when you've got that light in a dark place, that little light makes a big difference, doesn't it? And, you know, just like our bodies have physical characteristics, the body of Christ has physical characteristics, or certain characteristics, not physical. But one characteristic of the body of Christ is that it is alive, and we should be alive in Christ. Nobody wants to be around something that's dead. Just this on Friday, I had a little boy whose last name happens to be Eslick, who said, something smells funny in here. And we're looking around, and I said, I don't see anything. Well, later on, we were switching desks, and everybody pulls their things out of their desk. And lo and behold, little Mr. Eslick has a container that from lunch, probably at least a week old, and he did not eat all the food in there. So I was like, that's probably where that smell came from. Okay. Things that decay, that aren't alive, you know, they start going downhill. And it's not pleasant, is it? The Bible says that we should be a pleasant aroma. We should be alive and kicking and something that people want to be around, not something dead that they want to, you know, throw in the garbage and take that out of here, okay? And the body of Christ is also what we call covenantal. And a covenant is like a commitment or a contract. And you've probably heard of covenant neighborhoods before, where if you want to live there, there's certain rules you have to follow. And God has made a covenant with us, and he has promised to love us and give us his Spirit. And then we, in return, commit or covenant to love and serve him. So every Christian, no matter their gender, their age, or their social status, is part of this contract with God. Then, as according to the scriptures that I read this morning, the body of Christ is also gifted by God. So we should be alive. We're covenantal. We're part of a covenant. And we are also gifted. And that Romans passage said that we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. So, and the gifts that were described, being kind. Yeah, some of us are teachers. Some of us are leaders in the church, but some of us are, it says, some are servants. My dad was the servant type. He never stood up in front of a congregation and spoke. But when there was something going on, an event, he was in the background helping, doing dishes or running the vacuum, whatever, those kinds of things that needed to be done in the parsonage. Whenever the pastor left, he was in there working to fix it up and make it shiny and looking newer again for the new pastor. That was being a servant. Teacher, leader, no, he would never have thought of himself that way. But servant, yes. And in our body here, there are different things. I know Leah does a great job with Sunday school, but I know in the summertime, our Sunday school teachers, they'd like to have some time off so that they can have a break and refresh and renew and go do things. And I got to go in there one time this summer, and you know what? It's not really all that hard. They hand you this paper, and it's got the whole thing on it. And, you know, you can read a story and do a simple little craft, and as long as, you know, sometimes like Bev this morning, it's like herding popcorn. But they, you know, they don't care. They love it. They love the fact that you're in there, and you are showing them Jesus. Okay? You can't go wrong. I know Glenda needs people to help visit shut-ins. They love that. And sometimes it's just sitting and listening and then saying a prayer with them. You can do that. So whatever gifts that God has given us, we need to use them. You know, if your body only had one arm, you know, how would that be? It makes it a lot harder to do things, you know. And if you took an arm and just set it down and it was separate, would it be useful to anybody? If you had another arm to pick it up, okay. So, but an arm by itself doesn't do a lot. This arm attached to my body is extremely useful. Okay, so just as it's good for our physical bodies to have all their parts functioning, and when something doesn't work right, we feel it, don't we? Same thing in the body of Christ. If one of us isn't using the gifts, if we're not doing what God's called us to do, then there's a hole. There's something that's missing. Okay. But together we can do all things through Christ. And then another aspect of the body of Christ is that we must be willing to be renewed. And doing things like coming together in church and worshiping together helps renew. Reading your Bible and praying, those things help you renew. And one of the things that is kind of an issue for our churches these days is that we don't always, we're not always willing to be renewed. And because part of the root of that word is new, okay? And sometimes in the church, we're not always open to new things. And I know, you know, I'm a creature of habit. I like what I like. And sometimes change is difficult. But change can also be good for us, isn't it? And when you think about church, the way that we do church, compare it now to what it was, say, you know, 100 years ago, it's different. And that's a good thing. The Bible doesn't change. Our theology shouldn't change. But it's okay to change the way we do things. We've got younger generations coming up. I'm sorry to say, but their music isn't like ours, is it? But they find ways to praise God with their music. And that should be okay with us. And we should be welcoming of that. And it's sad when you have the body become divided because of issues of the way that church is done. So I've seen fights over service times. I've seen fights over pews versus chairs. I've seen fights over type of music. I've seen fights over should we have drums? Should we not have drums? Should we have an organ? Should we not have the organ? That's not what the body should be focusing on. We should be focusing on loving and sharing Christ with people. These people who are outside of the church don't necessarily have the same traditions that we do. That is okay. God, or Dave always says, God calls people into the church, and we need to welcome them in. Let God deal with, you know, that the external things with those people. But what we need to focus on is being loving and welcoming. That's how we spread God's love, and that's how his body will grow and be healthy. Okay? The body of Christ is a very important thing with each other. When one of us goes through a hard time, the body should be there to help us through it. And I've had times in my life when I needed the body of Christ. I had a coworker who was killed at school several years ago. And I wound up with a lot of anger from that. A lot of anger. He was close to my age. His two kids were the same age as my two kids. He lived two blocks away from me. He was my good friend. And a couple of young men who were part of a gang killed him. Oh, that made me angry. And I carried that anger around inside for a long time. And I thought I had dealt with it, but once the trial came, a lot of things came flooding back. And I had this huge anger to carry. And I didn't know what to do with it. But I was part of a Bible study group. And they, week after week, listened to me, and they prayed for me, they talked with me, they supported me, and they helped me deal with that anger and let go of that anger. They were doing what God called them to do as being the body of Christ. And you know, when God calls you to do something, don't delay, don't wait. My first year of teaching, I taught 7th, 8th, and 9th grade English in a very small district in Idaho. And I had a student named Chuck. And he was struggling academically. He seemed to be emotionally very needy. We had to do recess duty, and he would follow me around at recess time. And he was just longing for attention. And, you know, as a first-year teacher, I was a little bit overwhelmed with the situation that I was in. One of the things I had to deal with was an influx of migrant workers, most of whom did not speak English. And I didn't have enough desks and books for everybody. And, I was just kind of on overload a lot that year. And when school got out, and I was evaluating how things went, I thought, you know, I need to spend more time on Chuck next year. And, you know, God had shown me that he had some needs. And so then I went away for the summer. And when I got back to town that in August, I met another teacher for lunch, and we were talking. And I said, you know, I am really going to focus on helping Chuck this year. He's really on my heart. And she said, you didn't hear. Chuck drowned. He was gone. And I learned the hard way that what you have is now. So when God calls you to do something, don't delay, especially if it's like in a situation like that where he's wanting you to help somebody in some way. You don't know what the future will hold. You know, there's a song that sometimes we sing. It's a little more spiritual than the hokey pokey. And it is, "Make Me an Instrument." And one of the lines in there is, "Make me a symphony." And I was in band for years, and some of you have been in choirs. And the thing about a band or choir or a symphony is that each voice and each instrument has its own part. And sometimes if you just heard that one instrument or that one voice by itself, you think, well, that sounds kind of weird. But when they all combine together, they make a beautiful sound. And that's what God does with us. Each one of you, God has given you something, some kind of ability, something that you can do to share, to help others, to bring a smile. My friend Bob, after he died, they had counselors come in, and one of the kids told the counselor that she was going to miss him because she could always count on him to smile at her as he was walking down the hall. And I thought, I could smile. How hard is it to smile at people? And even here, if I'm in the store, I do the smile experiment. And I look at people and I smile at them, people I don't know. Some of them, I get different reactions, and that's okay. But God's talked to me through that situation with my friend Bob that smiling at people is important. So that's one of the things that I try to do. And as being part of God's symphony, if you would definitely play your part, give that smile, bake those cookies, go visit that person, dig out your neighbor's driveway, whatever it is that God's called you to do, if you will do that, then you will be sharing his love. And, you know, Ecclesiastes 4:9 says that two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. So if you will dig in and be part of this body and help out, we can do great things for Christ. And I know this church does an amazing job serving other people. But there are still some things. We've got a couple people who have volunteered to lead a youth group in this building. They need our support. We've got people who have to decorate the altars. And they've asked for help. And we've got people who have who organize communion, and they have to ask people to help serve. And sometimes, you know, they might come and ask you, but there's nothing wrong with you stepping forward and volunteering too. Let Pastor Dave know, let Marjean in the office know that you're available to do something. And then follow through, because sometimes even those small things, like that smile, make a difference. And if you're called to help somebody, like I was called to help Chuck, but I neglected to do what I was called to do, and then I never had the opportunity. You want to make sure that you are faithful to whatever it is that God calls you to do. It doesn't have to be something big. It could be something small. So I challenge you this morning to open your heart and think about what God would have you do to help out his body and to be that light for him in whatever world, whatever spot he has placed you. So if you would pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your light that shines in us, and help us to carry that light out to the world, to the darkness around us, so that others may see you. In your name, amen.